All right, good evening. Welcome to the November 10th, 2020 City of Black Diamond Planning Commission meeting. Would you please join me in the flag salute? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Give me one second here.
No worries.
Oh. Well.
Good.
Is it gone?
Yeah, we're good. Thank you, commissioners. I appreciate your participation. Karina, can we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Commissioner LaConte?
Present.
Commissioner Jensen?
Present.
Commissioner Butt?
Present.
Commissioner McCain?
Present.
Commissioner Ekberg?
Here.
Commissioner Amber?
Here.
And Commissioner Olson?
Present.
All right.
Great. Thank you, commissioners. Included with your packet tonight, there were some minutes that need to be reviewed and approved. The first one would be the Planning Commission meeting minutes from the October 6th, 2020 meeting. Has everyone had a chance to take a peek at those? And if so, and if they are found in order, I would entertain a motion from the floor to pass those.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of October 6, 2020.
I'll second Commissioner Butt.
Great, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve these meetings. Commissioners, all those in favor, signify aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried, thank you. We'll submit those into the record.
I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes of October 14th, 2020 Special Planning Commission meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Olson. Do I have a second on that?
I'll second that, Commissioner Jensen.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Jensen. It's been moved and seconded to approve the October 14th, 2020 meeting minutes. All those in favor, signify aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, commissioners. All right. Well, our next opportunity here is the call for public comments. If anyone here that is joining our call tonight would like to raise their hand and use this time to speak, please feel free to. When you turn on your microphone and are pointed to be the one to join in, please do so. Just state your name and your city for the record, please. Is there just a second call for any public comment at this time? There is another call for public
comment. Hello?
Oh, hello?
I'm sorry, this is Kristen calling in from the phone. Are you asking for public comments?
We are.
Okay. I could not get the internet connection to work, so I apologize. I called in a little late, and I think I'm using the phone properly for rather than, you know, having to use the phone on mute. It's a little tricky, so...
But no problem. Just please state your name and your city of residence for the record, Kristen.
Sure. So my name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And my public comment tonight for the commission is I'm concerned about the late posting of materials for recent commission meetings. I felt it was important to make a comment because it's actually been something that has been going on for the last meeting and this one where the packet isn't available before the meeting or in the today, I guess it came out this afternoon, but it makes it difficult for the public. And also I would think makes it very difficult for the commission to have a substantial discussion. And this has been an issue for a few years where packets for the planning commission come out very close to the meeting. And a best practice that had been followed in years past and is followed for Black Diamond Council meetings and you know, probably even more so for some other cities, is that those packets would come out at least a week ahead of time. There's a lot of, you know, if there's a question about something or, you know, any just research to look into changes, it takes time. It can take contacting, you know, looking up how other cities do things, for examples. It can take contacting any number of experts in the field or, you know, maybe for the Planning Commission, developers or environmental organizations. None of these things can be done on the fly. Even just to read and reflect on the information really takes time, and to have a discussion and then say, but it's not final until later. I mean, I would hope the Planning Commission is really, you know, there are certain things that people dig into and bring back later and put a lot of effort into it. But when we see the packet materials repeatedly coming at very close to the meeting, it sort of sends a message that all of this is not as valued and as carefully considered as it could be. And I think that there should just be a real meaningful change in getting those packets up well in advance and putting the work into that. Thank you.
Appreciate your comment. Would anybody else like to provide their public comment at this time? If so, please state your name and your city of residence for the record. All right, we're going to close this portion of the meeting and move to our next item of business. And Ms. Kincaid, you're up next.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair McKean. What I'm going to do is share my screen here. And we will begin work on our workshop today. Let's see here. I haven't actually tried to share a PowerPoint. It just dawned on me that maybe that doesn't work on Zoom, but I guess we'll go through page by page. Let's see here. Okay, can everyone see the PowerPoint slide?
Yes.
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 So for tonight, what we have been working on throughout the course of, I guess, maybe 2 months, once the docket for the annual amendment was adopted, we began working on the items on our docket. We are tonight working on item 4 on the docket, which is the transportation related amendments. And if you recall, our docket is narrowly focused this year just to address the deficiencies that the Puget Sound Regional Council found in our periodic comp plan update. That's the big overhaul comp plan update that we did and adopted last year, May of 2019. We need PSRC to fully certify our comprehensive plan to be eligible for federal transportation funding. And so that's our real focus for this year. So tonight's workshop is on this, what PSRC gave us for partial certification, the conditions that they would like us to meet in this year's amendment cycle. So I'm gonna switch to the slide and as it works, right? You can see the next slide now?
Yes.
Oh, good, okay. So, the first screen was just all of those, just all of those bullets that we had on our docket. So now we're going to go through them. So, revising the text to remove references to WSDOT widening of SR 169, and revising the text in the comp plan to acknowledge the designation of SR 169 as a highway of statewide significance. So this is just kind of massaging and removing some erroneous information. And page 13 and 14 of your transportation appendix, which is the document that I emailed you, and I can put that up on the screen as well, because that will help as we work through this. It's just going to be clunky with the darn Zoom here, so I beg your patience while I switch from this screen to that on the appendix. So pages 13 and 14, and I will show you what we are proposing.
Oh, hey, Barbara, this is Dave, Amber. Yeah. Are you going through that, let's see, let me get the title of the thing here. Comprehensive Plan Amendment Chapter 5 that you emailed us?
It should be Chapter 7. Chapter 7, Transportation Chapter, and the Appendix 7 for Transportation. That's what I emailed you, and that's what we're working on tonight.
All right, I'm down to Chapter 7 now. Okay.
So page 13 and 14. So first of all, let me say that we didn't do much deleting of text. Most of what we are discussing is the addition, clarification, that sort of thing for PSRC. This is the one area where we actually had to delete some text because we had talked about how the WASDOT had done a, first of all, we didn't say that it was a highway of statewide significance. PSRC has asked us to make sure that we put that in here because that is a technical term, but it's an important term to recognize the role that SR-169 plays in our transportation network as a highway of statewide significance. It recognizes that this highway is eligible for different funding for transportation improvements, and it also clarifies for the reader that the level of service standards are controlled by WASDOT. So we had to take text out where we mentioned in the adopted plan that WASDOT had done a route, a corridor management plan, and was recommending that it be widened. That is not true. There were years ago when this corridor plan was started by WASDOT, but it was a draft document that we were referencing. It was not an adopted document. So I'm sure that when PSRC made that comment to us, it was probably from a WASDOT reader that said, no, that's not right. They need to take that out. So this language that you see highlighted on pages 13 and 14 would be the proposed new language for this section to comply with what PSRC is asking us for. So basically we're just acknowledging that it's a designated highway of statewide significance. WASDOT has jurisdiction. WASDOT establishes the level of service for the roadway and that, they had done this because the city, and the reason why this is important to us, the city, is that we had really been planning when they were working on this corridor management plan, had been kind of planning that they would widen it. We now know that they don't have any intention of doing that, but we mentioned it in here that they had started that planning process, but didn't finish it. And that there is no assumption that SR-169 would be widened. But what's important here to us is that even though that's true, we are, the city is, when new development comes in, we're being proactive. We are requiring that developers along SR-169 dedicate additional right-of-way if it's less than 100 feet. So what we're doing for the state in our little city is ensuring that eventually, as we know, something may have to, maybe it will have to be widened. And when and if that time ever comes, we will have been working all along to acquire the 100-foot right-of-way that would be needed. which is a big deal because, as you know, if you have to increase the width of a road and you don't own the land, it gets very expensive. So by proactively requiring development as it comes online to dedicate part of their land, that is going to, down the road, should the state ever look at this corridor again and say, yeah, we might need an extra lane, it's going to make the project much more feasible. And then we just say that we recognize the impacts to 169 and that we have agreements with major developments to ensure these impacts, some of the deficiencies are mitigated. So this is just a rewrite basically of this section in the adopted 2019 plan that had inaccurate information about the WSDOT's plan, route development plan and the widening, but also putting in there that what the city is doing to try to help this situation. So that is the change that we are proposing to address the PSRC comment, asking us to revise the text, to take out the widening of SR 169 reference and to acknowledge the statewide highway of statewide significance.
Ms. Kincaid, this is Chairman McCain. I don't see in my red line version where that first line where it says WSDOT and SR 169, it doesn't say on my page 13 that SR 169 is a designated highway of statewide significance.
Perhaps I emailed you an old version, I bet.
Commissioner Amber, mine says 11/10/2020 Planning Commission meeting.
Okay.
And I'm on page 7-13.
Okay.
And it doesn't show any of that.
Okay.
Well, Dave, Commissioner Amber.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Leconte.
Yeah, hello.
Commissioner Leconte, you were speaking.
Yeah, there's no matching up with this. I've been looking at the other one and I can't find.
Okay, what happened is that you guys got the first draft and I apologize for that. So this is what I would propose it read on your screen. And I want to kind of acknowledge the fact that this, you know, we're workshopping on this topic, and that what we want to do is get in a timely manner a draft document out for public review prior to holding a public hearing. And so I would propose that this language that I just told you would be what we should insert. So what you have in front of you, this has been rewritten, and you didn't get the right version, and I apologize for that.
Thank you, Ms. Kincaid. So this is Chairman McCain. So commissioners, you have two items that were included in our packet. So you have the Chapter 7, the transportation part, and then we have the Appendix 7, mm-hmm. transportation appendix, and we're in the appendix. I know I was confused originally on which part of the Chapter 7 we were in. Does everybody see that there's two different documents? And everybody knows that we're currently in the appendix, and that is page 13.
Right, and we'll be jumping back and forth because remember the appendix to these chapters sort of contains the technical information and the backup story, if you will, that sets the stage for the actual policies in the chapter. So we have to make sure that both of these documents are, there's things in both of them that we're looking at revising. So we'll sort of be jumping back and forth.
I think Ms. Kincaid, it would be simpler if we, I know that it might put things out of order, but just making sure that the commissioners are looking at either the appendix or the chapter with whatever the discussion points on would probably be helpful.
Sure.
Okay.
So there's that. There is that one. Any discussion about, you know, this is really just kind of clarification language. It's, but if, you know, any discussion on this before we move on?
Okay, this is Commissioner Amber. Okay, so you're saying this is required by the Puget Sound Regional Council to be put in our comprehensive plan to approve our comprehensive plan?
Yep.
And is it taking out anything or is this just getting added in?
These are added. This is, I mean, we did on this one. Everything else we're going to talk about is just at language that's added in. This is the one section where we had to take out information that was wrong, where we said in the adopted version, in fact, it's right here on the, this is what we are actually taking out. So we talked about how they had proposed minor widening. All of this information was from the draft route development plan that never got adopted. And so when PSRC came back with their review of the plan, they said, that's not correct. You need to take that out.
Okay. We don't really have much of a say in that. So, I mean, it needs to go in there.
Well, we want to have the correct information. So I think that, you know, I think it is helpful for people to know that at this time, once upon a time, you know, that apparently the state was thinking about widening SR 169, but no more. So it is important that our plan has correct and accurate information.
So Ms. Kincaid, are we then in effect, we're deleting that part of the paragraph that is not redlined, so that text in our body of our appendix is going to be deleted?
It's in the margin, and this strike through, so the red line stuff is all new and it replaces what's over in the margin of your document. Did your copy show the deletion in the margin?
No, it doesn't show the deletion in the margin.
Well, this is it right here.
Okay.
We can make sure that the public hearing draft is, you have to turn that on and that didn't happen.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Commissioners, so the body, the text that's not redlined is going to be deleted. Got it. All right, thank you.
Right here, yeah, these are the words that get deleted. And then these are the words that are all in an underlined text. There's some blue and there's some red. That would be this section would in the public hearing draft, it will read like this if you approve that.
Okay, well, it's a little bit confusing. I think that this statement by itself really does speak to the public as to the reality that we as a city don't have much jurisdiction, in fact, any jurisdiction on SR 169. And I hope that is communicated clearly to the citizens and they understand that we have to have the same level of patience everybody else does because we're not in charge of that roadway. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Olson, so basically that, what we just read basically said, somebody's going to expand 169. And then now it says they're not.
Basically, that's what it said. Yeah.
And then it also makes reference to the other parts of it being planned around that. So right. Was anything else changed then? Because if it obviously wasn't planned around that, it was planned around the widening. So does it fall in line then?
It does. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, in that part, so that's not, so it's not new information about the part where we talk about the city, it's wordsmithed a little bit, but in the adopted plan, we talk about how the city is actively requiring the dedication of right-of-way for development along. That was in there before. That's important, like I said, because that's something that the readers or the developers, the people that rely on this plan for accurate information need to know that if you're going to develop on 169, we're going to require you dedicate right of way to equal the 100 foot that would be needed. Even though there are no future plans that the state has right now for widening it, it's still going to be required. And I think that's accurate, and it's very transparent for people to know.
Commissioner Amber, is that already included in the Provident Electric site and the storage lot going in?
Yep, it is. Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't think I have a problem with this change.
Okay.
All right, let's move on then.
Commissioner Ackberg, I've got a question about the 100 feet.
Yep.
How's that measured? Do you start from the middle of the road and measure 100 feet on either direction? So it's 100 feet right away. How is that measured?
From center of right of way. Yeah, center of right of way is to the parcel line center of right of way is over is how it's measured.
So we have center and then 50 feet on either side.
Right.
North.
100. Let's see, is it 100 that you're at? Not
well, meters. It's 50 on each side, 100 total.
Yeah. Thanks, Justin.
Okay.
It goes from the center line over.
Commissioner Lavati, some of the streets or some of the houses are right up. Is this going through Black Diamond?
This is all the way along the corridor through Black Diamond. If someone wants to read,
some of the homes are right on the edge of the street the way they are now.
No, I think this is from the Roberts Drive North, not along the elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have a bottleneck.
Yeah, it's going to be a bottleneck no matter what, I think.
Well, so Ms. Kincaid, I think it's important. Richard's point is really important. What do those people do that are right on that newly established right of way insofar as their homes? Because, you know, there are some homes just right off the sidewalk, 15 to 20 feet. Is that just going to be part of the process when the reality comes that the road's going to be widened?
Well, you know, when and if it is ever determined on these state highways that more land is needed because the road needs to be widened, then, you know, usually what happens is either they try to purchase the property that they need, or they, you know, go through the process of eminent domain to take it. Depends on what, but I mean, I think really, we're really talking about that commercial corridor. Not probably all the way down through by the elementary school, but I mean it is the state highway, so I mean still and all it's yeah, I don't, you know, who knows, right? That's maybe that's why the state have decided to abandon ever widening it. I don't know, because they realized there were so many residential homes along there. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Are we ready to move on to the next issue? Are commissioners satisfied with the conversation
yes.
so far? Okay, Barb, let's move on to the next point.
Okay, so our next bullet that we were looking at was about the revising the text and map figures as needed to accurately reflect the transportation roadway network and improvements. I have been working with both Seth Foster, the Public Works Director, and Andy Williamson, the MDRT Director. And when I am talking about maps, so just so you know, the red bullet here, this is pasted from our docket. This is the language on our docket, just to remind us of where we are. So these maps that we're talking about are map figures. There's three of them in the comprehensive plan. And they look like this, if you wanted to look at them at all. But what's important on these is, after we talked about, are these conceptually showing where the roadway, future roadway, you know, this one is a 2015 to 2021 improvement map. So you start to see these new roads that the MPD is supposed to build. This one is 2022 to 2035. You start to see how the green roads are the new ones that are supposed to come online at that time. And then the third map figure is this 7-4. This is the network concept. So in 2035, conceptually, this is what we would have for the roadway network. So my concern and question for Seth Botcher and Andy Williamson was, are these maps accurately depicting the location of the roads? And we talked about that and talked about it with the attorney too. And where we arrived is that the important thing to let the reader know is that these are conceptual. So we hadn't really, they say kind of in the small print, this is a concept map, but the maps themselves generally and conceptually are showing these roads in the right location. Naturally, we don't know for sure the exact location until a road actually gets planned and designed, but that these are in the approximate conceptual correct location. So we would not be changing those maps, but what we do need to do is change the text. I'm sorry, did someone need to talk? Or is that just a background? Must be a background. So, but what we do need to do is make sure that we label these map figures better to say, this is a concept map. Please do not think that this is where the new road is going to go. And that's where we arrived on that particular docket item.
Ms. Kincaid, Chairman McKenna, for the reference point for the commissioners, you're talking about the maps that are attached at the end of our appendix chapter?
That's correct. They're the very last maps in your appendix chapter. There are three of them that talk about the, in fact, they're labeled map figure 7-5, 7-6, and I've just pasted them here just for your convenience, and 7-4. So those were the maps that we were concerned about whether or not we needed to shift some of these potential future roadways elsewhere, and then arrived at that really what we need to do is just make sure that we're very clear that these are concept and that these locations are not, you know, they don't depict the exact location where these roads will go, but they are conceptually correct.
Thank you, Ms. Kincaid. We also have 7-1, 7-2, and 7-3 included in our packet. And is that, are they included for the very same reason, to just express the fact that those are conceptual maps?
Well, those are maps that are telling you different things. Some of those maps are telling you where the traffic counts are and things like that. So I was mainly just concerned with these three maps that I've just talked about, and not the other, but I think, well, they show where improvements are going to go. Let's see, I got to pull it up because actually I'm trying to remember what they're called. The traffic counts, I don't have the right document up.
We're talking about peak hour volumes.
Yeah. See, we're not, those are not conceptually, those are actually data driven results, those maps, based on traffic counts. So they're different. So these maps are actually, these are mapping different things. The three maps that I was concerned about were the kind of the concept where the new roads were supposed to go. If that makes sense to you.
Sure. I think as a concept, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, are you guys clear on that?
So yeah, I finally got my, so you have a 7-7.
Yes.
Yeah. The peak hour traffic volume and roadway network. See, that is, those are traffic counts based on data. We wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't probably need to be concerned about that. It's, they're old traffic counts that need to be updated. You have the roadway functional classification map. That one is accurate. That is really what it is, those functional classifications, as well as the non-motorized transportation, showing you the sidewalks and the bike lanes, and then 7-1. So no, the only three maps that I'm talking about are those improvement maps for the planning horizon and the 2035 concept.
All right, that's clear. Commissioners, is everybody following that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So now, the one that is the really the big heavy lift of all of the new, and we're not taking anything out again, but it was this contingency explanation that you remember the. PSRC said, hey, we want you to talk a little more about your contingency plan to address the funding shortfalls. So we had been really relying heavily on these new roadways, on the funding coming from the master plan developer, but PSRC said, yeah, but that's all fine, but what if that doesn't happen, what are you going to do? And so this is where, Chair McCain, we could just kind of walk through, beginning with the transportation chapter itself. We'll start with that, if everyone's okay with that.
Okay, so we're switching back to the chapter then.
We're back to the chapter.
Okay.
Yes, and so everything that we have, so are you still seeing, I think I have to bring this up here. Let me bring my, there we go. So if we, first of all, we're gonna go to page 7-2 in the chapter, and we have some new red line language where we talk about interjurisdictional. So the deficiencies, so some existing transportation deficiencies, we say, including several on SR 169, can be attributed to growth in other jurisdictions. And these could be addressed in a variety of ways. And this is really setting the stage for a policy for improving interjurisdictional coordination and implementing plans and programs. That maybe could, you know, the one thing that we can't do is have any control over the public transportation. That's one way to meet deficiency problems, but we could look at maybe programs for implementing reliance on single occupancy vehicles. So that's one way where we're sort of bolstering, I guess is the way I would put this. This recognition that we do have deficiencies, but it's not something that the city can fund for when it's been caused maybe by development that's outside of the city, but we should be more actively engaged in interjurisdictional coordination. We go to the next page here and we have some new language under the funding, qualify for funding. This new sentence is to let the reader know that we have, once our population reaches a higher level, once we exceed this 5,000 population, which we are anticipated to grow, there's a different pot of funding for transportation improvements that would be something we could tap into for additional opportunities to fund transportation improvements. And I'm just going to go through these, and I just would just please stop me as I'm going through anything, if anything you want to talk about or doesn't make sense.
All right, Commissioner Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. All right, the master plan development agreement has wording in it that should demand that the developer pay for these roadway improvements based on their development.
It does. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. Now, if the master plan developer does not follow through on those, that is what is the city? I mean, that's where I see the city's. I don't know what their avenue is. What are the contingency plans if Oak Point does not follow through on its timely upgrades to traffic systems that it's supposed to do?
So if I'm understanding your question, are we're talking about the Oak Point, the master plan development agreement is still active and in place? Or are we talking about if it were to expire and not be renewed?
If it is active and still in place.
Okay. I mean,
so in the next, 8 years or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when it expires, but...
I'm not either. So in that case, that's a legal question. And I'm not an attorney. So then you're talking about somebody that broke an agreement, basically, with the city.
Well, there has to be wording somewhere in that master plan agreement that...
I'm sure there is. Yeah, I'm sure there is. It's a contract between the city and the developer, but I'm not familiar enough. And I'm sure there certainly are clauses in there for defaulting on the agreement.
And Chairman McCain here, and I think part of the issue is, commissioners, that we're not talking about just the MPD driven traffic, but also all of the sub area traffic. Am I correct, Ms. Kincaid?
You are. And that's where we're trying to be very broad, but we also wanted to cast a net that would be, again, because, you know, we are very reliant on that funding agreement and by the master plan developer to pay for these roadways. And should that agreement expire and not be renewed, you know, we already have deficiencies that would have to be met. So this is a contingency for what will we do then? These are contingency, you know, massaging this to say, well, you know, as we walk through this, I think you'll see more and more how this all stacks up. But there's, so first of all, we say like, okay, well, we would be eligible for different pots of money. That's the first one. Then we go down to page 711.
Well, excuse me, this is Commissioner Amber. It mm-hmm. seems like we're trying to pass the buck away from the master plan developer in case they decide not to pay for the upgrades they're supposed to. I'd like to know what if, let's say, at the, I don't know what the breakoff point is, it's 850 houses, they have to do a study, and then I don't know when they actually have to do improvements. I would think it would be ahead of schedule, not behind the eight ball, but well, who knows what this.
Yeah, they've got an implementation schedule to build these improvements based on the number of housing units that get permitted. So there's different thresholds as they go through this implementation schedule.
Right, and if they do not keep up on their end of the agreement, that's where the building has to stop until they catch up to their agreement. Because if we don't want them to build 6,000 houses and not do any road agreements, and then they walk away.
Right. So again, we have to make sure that we're careful when we think about if they still have an active agreement with the city. Obviously, then there's a default situation. But as we walk through this, you're going to see this language stacking up to say, if the agreement doesn't get renewed and we don't have an active agreement, then here's what we're going to do. So maybe I just haven't gotten to that page yet, but we talk about transportation impact fees being brought to the all developers at that point. And so there's language in here, I think, that you're going to like.
Well, it sounds like you're planning on the master plan developer to build 6,000 houses and walk away and not do any road improvements.
No, remember the implementation, the phased implementation schedule in the that's part of that agreement already wouldn't let that happen.
Right, they should.
If they don't get to build, you know, if the number is 850, if they don't build the road, they don't get any more permits under the agreement. So that's a whole different topic.
There shouldn't be any issue with that. So all these improvements should be built.
If they meet all of those thresholds, yes, that's true. And I would think that will probably happen, but.
The bigger issue is if they hit 849 and they file bankruptcy, but that one at 850 still needs to get done, who's going to pay for it?
Commissioner LaConte, shouldn't we have them bonded or something?
There are bonds. I mean, yes, that's true. But just remember that contingency plans are the backup. So any one of us in our lives, we plan and we have contract, we have things in place, should be fine. But you always want to know that there's a backup plan if something goes wrong. And that's what PSRC was uncomfortable with. They said, we don't feel like you have a very good backup plan if something goes wrong. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to excuse or you know, disqualify the agreement that's in place because it's a contract. We have every expectation that it will be fulfilled in, you know, the way that it's supposed to be. But so we go into the next 7-11 where we funding concurrency and impact mitigation, and we have new language added here where we introduce the appendix SR 169 language that we had talked about how it's so important as a highway of significance. And then we add this sentence in policy T19 for concurrency that says one of the things that you could do is, you know, we have the authority to adopt a level of service standards for local roadways. We cannot change the level of service for SR 169 because it's a highway of statewide significance, but we could lower the level of service for other roadways if we needed to. It's not a popular thing, but that is something that you could do. And so we put this as one of the contingency measures. If we have a level of service that falls and we don't have money, the city doesn't have money, and let's not even think about master plan developer here. We don't have money, we didn't think ahead to collect the money, then we could lower the level of service. So then that basically it's just kind of at that point, then you don't have something to fix because you don't have something that's broken.
Well, that's kind of a poor way to solve the situation.
I'm not saying that it would be the way that it would be solved. It's just an option. So what we're trying to do here is put in options that the city has the authority to exercise these options should they choose to do so. Now, remember, if a level of service were to be changed, there would be a public process for that.
Well, I don't like that downgrading the level of service because that's an easy out. I think because the level of service is going to have to be there eventually. I mean, I just don't like lowering the level of service as, you know, lipstick on a pig. Not to downgrade pigs or anything, but that's just, I don't like doing that. That's.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Nobody likes that. This is like kind of the last resort option, but you have to think a bit about it in a different, maybe a different way, if I could frame it for you, Commissioner, is if the city doesn't have enough money to fix a road or build a new road or whatever it needs, and we just don't have enough money, then, and there is no other option, then this option might be the only way to handle it. And we would hope that would not be the case.
Well, then future development on that road would not happen. Instead of lowering the level of service, you just don't allow any future development on that road.
Yeah, and we're getting to that. We've put more language into the following policies, but this is policy T19 on concurrency, that we're just saying this is one option to as a contingency measure, and this is just being proposed for you. And I'm hearing you say, like, man, I don't like that at all. Any other commissioners have thoughts about this?
Yes, Commissioner Jensen. Part of it, we're talking about things that we don't need to talk about because there is
is everybody hearing this okay?
No.
We've got a bad
Okay, are you hearing me now?
Mm-hmm.
Much better. Start from the beginning, okay, if you don't mind, Commissioner Jensen, because I think it's important what you're trying to say. Would you mind to start over?
That's
great.
We may have to alter our video off.
No, too. That's fine. I'm just saying that I think, okay, part of it about things that we really control or any reason to discuss, that there is a binding contract, and I'm sure a very solid and well-researched contract between the developer and the city. And to make every assumption and assume that everybody is going to follow through on those responsibilities is not too much for us to expect. But again, I think that all of us can understand that in life, it's always a good idea to have a plan B, and it's a good idea to have a plan C and D and on down the road, because, you know, things happen. But just because I have a plan B and C doesn't mean that I'm expecting plan A to fail, or that I'm giving anybody with responsibility for plan A to fail. Nothing changes with that contract just because we have another option to take care of a potential problem. Everything still remains the same. So I think that there's a lot of wisdom in coming up with designated and well-stated options. And our first choice is option A. But as we go down the line, you know, option D might not be a good option at all, but it's better than no option. And so I think that that's just important that we go through and say, okay, here's another option. It's not the best, it's not our favorite, but we have another option in place.
Well said. Thank you, Commissioner Jensen. And I, Chairman McCain, I wanted to make a point too that, for instance, there's another 50 homes going in at the intersection of 169 and 288. So when we look at this, we need to look at how do we resolve these issues separate from the MPD, because there's a lot of other things coming online that are affecting this overall traffic pattern. And I think it might be more correct to look at it take a broader look, that it's not just the MPD adding units. There's units being added all over our region that are going to affect traffic long-term.
That's right.
Commissioner Amber, I just think that having the ability to lower the level of service is giving the city the ability to allow far more development than than is projected for the area to handle, because they've got this easy out of, well, we'll just build another 300 homes here and lower the level of service for the road if we don't have the money. I think it's just an easy, too easy of an out to put in there. Because the level of service, you really can't lower that because the demand is going to be there. And just lowering the level of service is not going to solve anything.
Well, Chairman McCain, I think maybe it's confusing. The level of service, if it is reduced on the road, you won't be able to add any more units. I think you're thinking of it maybe a little bit backwards, Commissioner Amber. And Ms. Kincaid, if you could chime in. Lowering the level of service means no more homes because you're at your max. Am I correct?
No, I know it's really confusing, isn't it? But when you lower the level of service, so let's just say you have a level of service C on a road, and it is it's failing, and you can't afford to make the improvements to make that bring up those deficiencies. Then what you would do is you would lower it to a D. So now it's a D. So now the expectation of how that road functions is less than what it was when it was a C. So now it's a kind of a bean counting game, actually, but it would then take care of the problem. The road now is meeting the level of service D, the lower service standard, therefore it doesn't need to be improved.
But that doesn't take care of the problem.
Right. Well, it takes care of one problem, but it doesn't take care of the deficiency. I mean, it's true. And I think that Commissioner Jensen said it very nicely, that it's probably the worst option of all. Cities have been doing it because they find that they have to do something. And if you don't have any money, you have to do something, because the state isn't going to just let you skate by without doing something. So it's a bad option, but it is an option. It's probably way down on the last option that we would have, but it is very important to know what those options are. You don't, doesn't mean you're going to exercise them, but it's good to know what they are.
Commissioner Ackberg, we're kind of skating around the issue. It seems like the problem is that we have this stated lowering a level of service. Why don't we say this is I don't know the right words, but say this is a worst case option, or we're only going to do this if we absolutely have to,
I think that's a really wonderful suggestion, Commissioner Ackberg. How does the commission feel about that? We could certainly say something to the effect that, you know, of course this would be a last resort sort of option.
Well, Commissioner Amber, yeah, it would be a last resort, but it would still be there. I see the level of service as the road is doing fine right now at the level of service it's at, and the city does some traffic projection that says, if we add 200 more houses here, it'll still meet this level of service, and the 200 houses get added, but then in fact, it doesn't meet the level of service. And so now you're going to, we'll just lower the level of service. I don't see that as an option. The city should do better planning, in my opinion. And if the roadway can't handle the worst case scenario for whatever is going in there, then they shouldn't allow it to go in there until those improvements are made. Or those improvements are funded.
Yes, there. And we do have to read. So we do have to make sure that we're not taking this one thing out of context. Remember, the comprehensive plan is an eternal cohesive document. And in other policies, we state that if you don't have the public service or utilities or infrastructure to support your development, it isn't granted. So we do have to remember that these are not the only policies that we work with. We have you know, a whole book of them.
Okay, well then this shouldn't even have to be in there then. I mean, if we've got policies that say if infrastructure can't handle it, we won't have this development, then infrastructure being the roadway, if it can't handle the proposed development, then the development won't happen and then the road won't need to be lowered.
But you do need to think about that. We're not all looking forward. We have roads that are, we have deficiencies now to deal with.
Commissioner Olson, I mean, the question is does the city have the ability to lower the level of standards, right? And whether we put that in this document or not, it does not remove the fact that they still have that ability. So I don't know where the argument is coming from. I think we're just stating that as a matter of fact. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have the authority.
Us removing it from this doesn't take away their right.
No, we have the authority to do that if we need to. That's exactly correct.
So we're really arguing over nothing because it is a matter of fact. They do have that ability. And if we leave it out of this document, we're just leaving out truth.
So, okay, so the only reason for putting that in there is to get PSRC approval.
Correct.
Do we want to, I mean, maybe just kind of dwell, just kind of think about this one and move on?
No, it sounds like there's nothing we can do about it, so move, accept it and move on.
Chairman McCain, I think it, you know, we are trying to find those contingency plans. I think it speaks it as well as anything. I do appreciate the lively debate, though, because it helps us to quantify it in our mind. And if commissioners are have felt like they've discussed it, let's move on and, you know, accept it as written and move on to the next part of the presentation.
Well, and I do, and again, let's come back to the fact that this is our work. This is our first workshop. We're workshopping on this. And so this discussion is wonderful, and it's going to give us all things to chew on as we think about this and prepare for the public hearing and listening to the public testimony before you're actually formulating a recommendation.
Well, and it's not that I disagree with Commissioner Amber, you know, I somewhat agree with him, but I'm just saying that, you know, I think when we review these things, we got to think beyond it. And if we're really not changing anything by leaving it in or leaving it out, you know, then it, you know, I think he's saying if we, you know, which would be good, would be nice if we wielded that power. I just don't think we do.
Correct. All right. And, you know, of course, another consideration is the council has to approve this and they're going to chime in with their own issues. Do they do that, Ms. Kincaid, after the public hearing or before?
Well, we'll be workshopping with the council as well. But what they have options. They can take your recommendation and not change it and adopt it. They may, or they can hold another public hearing and change some things that they, if they don't like, you know, the recommendation that you're bringing to them.
Good, good. Well, then I think we're, you know, ready to move on. Everybody ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay, so in this policy T19, then we just, we have this, and I think this is a really good one. You're going to start to see themes here. So the concurrency we talk about, well, meeting concurrency, you know, and the level of service, but also with the 6-year transportation improvement plan, we've added, well, we could also prioritize improvements on SR 169 because we can't modify that. But it, I'll just refresh your memory. There's this short. So what we're dealing with in the comprehensive plan is the long range plan, the 20-year vision. But the transportation improvement plan is a shorter range plan where, you know, it's every 6 years. What are the projects that rise to the level, the priority level that we need to seek funding for? And so I thought this was a really good one because we could actually exercise, you know, a more careful prioritization methodology in the six-year TIP, since that's, you know, we can't change the level of service, but we certainly could look at prioritizing improvements there if we need to make improvements that aren't the developer isn't paying for. But as we move through this, you'll see we're really relying on the developers, not just the master plan developer, but any developer to fund their projects, to fund development. So then we have some new, just an intro into some new language on policy T20. In addition, the city could explore other means to improve LONs, such as implementation of plans and programs that reduce reliance on single occupancy vehicle travel. So this is transportation demand management. So policy T20 is talking about funding sources. And the very first bullet is to adopt a transportation impact fee to fund capacity improvements that maintain adopted level of service standards for roadways. This is something that is in the works right now. And it's a city's biggest tool for contingency or for funding mechanisms for transportation improvements. You always hear the development should pay for itself. And the adoption of a transportation impact fee is the way to do that primarily. The city has been long overdue in adopting this, but it's in the works now. We also—
Who pays that transportation?
The transportation impact fee is paid by the developer, any developer. It's what it is it's a formula that that comes up with the cost. It quantifies the cost of the additional trips on the roadway system based on that development, and then it charges that to the developer. And then it goes into a bank account for a certain amount of time, and the city, you know, collects enough money, and then we have enough money to make the improvements to the roads.
Great.
The other thing we changed on funding sources policy in T20 is more language about our eligibility to pursue grant funding that bigger cities get. It's a bigger pot of money. When we were all below 5,000, the small cities pot of money is quite small, but when you reach that 5,000 and over, then you it's more competitive, granted, but there's more money available. So we added that in just to sort of bolster that, yes, seeking funding from federal agencies and available grant sources. And oh, by the way, we're growing enough that we're going to be able to seek funding from federal pots of money that are bigger pots of money to do expensive, because road projects are expensive. But this is really why we want the PSRC to fully certify our plan, because we'll be eligible for the federal money if they certify the plan. Any questions before we move on?
Commissioner Olson,
mm-hmm.
Would it be beneficial to list any grants, like any actual names of grants or information of grants that we could currently receive if we were at that threshold to boost this, or do you think that would not be needed? Do you think that it's well known that they know this already?
We could put those in there, and I think that's a nice idea. The problem is that in the world of transportation funding, it changes. They keep changing the name of these programs. And so we might, you know, list these programs, and then the legislature would rename the program.
Commissioner, mm-hmm. programs that's constantly changing. I think that would limiting any.
Can you hear us, Commissioner Jensen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I'm hearing you.
you.
Okay.
Did you hear me?
We heard part of it, and I think what you said was that you agreed that your experience in your profession is that that happens indeed.
Yes, grants are always changing, and so I think that would limit the document or date the document by including specific names and make it confusing.
So then the next, moving through this policy T22, the financial impact mitigation policy, where we require developers to contribute their fair share. We've added language to this second bullet, and this is where I think, you know, we're getting down to where we're saying to address Commissioner Amber's concerns that requiring developers who are not subject to an approved development agreement or for whom an approved development agreement has expired to assist in providing additional funding through an adopted program such as a TIF, transportation facilities and or service in proportion to the impacts and needs generated by that. So we added these, just the or for the for whom. We included the master plan developer into this if their agreement has expired, so that it's very clear that they will still be required to pay for their development if they continue to develop. Any questions with that one?
That makes sense. So just for the record, none of the pages are not numbered correctly, Barb. So there's a little issue there that I'm sure some smithing will take care of. But yeah, the 7.2, the part of the plan is important, and the page numbering is hit or miss.
It really is, and I thought we had cleaned that up when we did the formatting of this document. So. And the appendix, I noticed that the page numbering is all off too. So I guess this is a good opportunity for us to get that fixed.
Indeed, thank you. And we have one more page, is it?
Now we've got policy T24. We've got new language on the intergovernmental agency coordination policy, T24. We're talking adding language to bolster this establishment of coalition of cities with the purpose of developing transportation solutions and their associated funding mechanisms to provide for safer and more efficient travel along SR 169. These efforts of the coalition could include studying forecast anticipated deficiencies resulting from growth in all affected jurisdictions, identifying solutions, developing an intergovernmental strategy to pursue state or joint grant funding and equitably distribute developer provided funds to all affected jurisdictions. It is a mouthful, but it's packed full of this really valuable concept that cities are going to have to join together because this transportation problem is beyond each city's boundaries. And so this is something that I know that there are organizations in other places where they're working on this. And the thing that really I like about this is that this language is setting the stage for the city of Black Diamond to be party to what the master plan developer is about ready, where they're going to have to do a regional transportation model. Well, that regional transportation model is obviously going to have to be reviewed by all of the connecting jurisdictions. And so this policy T24 language that we're proposing to add is just a great expression of how the city of Black Diamond recognizes that is something that we will participate in.
Commissioner Amber, I would have thought that the city of Black Diamond and Covington and Enumclaw and Buckley and Maple Valley were already in an agreement like this. I mean, they have interlocal agreements for other things. I would have thought transportation would have certainly been in there too. So you're saying there's no
coalition
right now between all these cities?
There are several groups that address different regional things and transportation. There are a couple of groups with transportation, but this one is specifically, but they do not, their sole purpose isn't to do this kind of collective search for, you know, pooling the funds together, I guess is the way that I would say that. It's still very much each man for his own out there in terms of funding these road projects.
Okay, so there's been no outreach to see if these other cities are interested in this yet?
Well, not, there may have been. I really can't answer that question because I'm, there may be by the elected officials. I can't answer that question. But this is a great statement of I think purpose for where the city of Black Diamond falls in our thought for pursuing these intergovernmental agency agreements, maybe for collective funding of roadway projects when we know that it's a regional project.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
So we'll move on then, unless you guys just stop me. That was it on the element. Now we're going to flip over to the appendix and walk through those like we just did on the chapter document. You're going to see a lot of similarities throughout because it's kind of echoing, definitely echoing sort of the same themes throughout. So let me pull this one up. I'll share my screen. And
now, Barb, is the appendix that you emailed us the same as the appendix in the separate email or the separate page? Because I've got this appendix at the bottom of the chapter 7. There's the appendix, but then I guess there's an appendix that's emailed separately.
There should have been just two documents, the chapter and the appendix. But then we also emailed you some comments that we received from one of the citizens that has been really involved in the transportation. So I wonder. Right.
Yeah. But there's an appendix at the bottom of the chapter. Is that a different?
It shouldn't be. There's just should you should just have the chapter 7 appendix. Mm-hmm. Commissioner LaConte?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
It is continuous, at least so far, but it breaks away.
So when we open our appendix and we are in the page numbers, I know are not good, but A74 page number, you see some new language here that is in the underline. Should the city encounter challenges associated with funding transportation improvements? This is, again, this mirrors the, remember the appendix is supporting the policy language. I probably should have started with the appendix first, but we got the hard part over with. This adoption of the lower level of service standards. This is just saying that we could exercise that. There's nothing new here than what we've already talked about in the chapter. And then we go down to the statewide significance language, and this red line language just talks about the why it's a statewide significance. It's, you know, it's an important roadway for the whole region, basically, what connects it. This is just clarifying why 169 is such an important road through. And then you see that the city is legally obligated to address these deficiencies in order to maintain the adopted level of service standard for the roadway. However, no permanent mechanisms are in place to secure funding from private developments outside of SR 169. This is setting the stage for what we just read in the policy language about this, how important it is for the city to really reach out and try to work on this interjurisdictional coordination.
Then we, so this is more of a just an explanation of what's on what's there. It doesn't, it's not really a policy to do anything, is it?
Right. This is just, we went through the policy language first. So what you're seeing in the appendix is just the supporting background, contextualizing that policy document. So page 13 in the appendix, again, that language, it's a highway of statewide significance. Really nothing that, there's nothing that we haven't already talked about here. It's that language where, yeah, we recognize that there's not going to be widening. But we're still going to try to, we're still going to try to be proactive with that additional right of way. It's pretty much the same language that we had in the chapter. And then we talk about the city recognizes the potential impacts to SR 169. We've entered into agreements with major developments to ensure these impacts are met, you know, are fixed, and as well as some existing deficiencies are properly mitigated to maintain consistency. This is just clarification language here.
Barb,
mm-hmm.
Let's see if, okay, let's say the developments that Black Diamond approves in the future dumps enough traffic on 169 that it no longer meets the state's level of service. Is the city of Black Diamond responsible to the state for that?
If we were to permit a whole bunch of development on 169 that lowers the level of service, so it's a failing, it doesn't meet the level of service standard, then we would be on the hook to fix it in our city. But see, that's where we talk about, well, gosh, you know, it's a highway and it, you know, it collects transportation that runs through our city from development that's outside, and we don't really have a way to control that. So that's where we get into this idea that we really need to look at a regional solution for a highway like 169.
Well, isn't that the job of the PSRC?
I think I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I don't know. I think their job is, they're the regional planning body. And so, you know, their job isn't, they're planning. So their job isn't to fix road problems once they happen.
No, but their job is to make sure that the cities in the regional area don't overexceed their capacity.
Yeah, that's part of that certification process. You're correct.
Okay, so, yeah. This.
I don't want to move on if you still have.
Well, it's just a very frustrating group of agencies that just passing the buck and not really, and that's why I don't like that lowering the level of service on roadways just to meet their standards. It's not a fix. It's just covering up a problem that's going to have to get addressed sooner or later.
Well, Chairman McCain, I appreciate that. We've had some really good dialogue tonight, and I am looking forward to sending this document on the docket off to the City Council and see if they have any great ideas on how to better plan for those contingencies and what the looks like for the next 10 years here in the city. So thank you, commissioners. This was a long meeting. There was a lot to process here. I appreciate all your attention. Ms. Kincaid, are we finished with the portion that you needed to bring us up to speed with?
Yeah, I mean, here we have language, new language in the appendix about prioritizing the transportation, the TIP in here. And then that was, I feel like there was one more down here. I just want to make sure that I draw your attention to anything that is different from what the adopted
plan. And these changes are going out to a public hearing, Commissioner Olson? Yeah,
yes. They would be, Commissioner Olson. So, okay, just here's a few more, guys. On funding sources, there's more language about that, you know, bigger funding pot of money there. We've talked about that. We talked about the mechanism to have a transportation impact fee. Should the MPD agreement not be extended once they are scheduled to expire, the transportation impact fee would be applied to remaining projects in those developments. That's making sure that people know that there's that contingency language there. Concurrency in the legislative requirement, that strategy about lowering LOS to the other roads, not 169, is an option. And I believe that was the last. Oh, then the last one is this intergovernmental coordination effort could be further expanded through this coalition. So that language is, again, the same or very similar or the same to what we had in the chapter itself. So then the very last thing on our docket was to adopt an updated 6-year transportation improvement plan. The one that we have adopted in our comp plan is the 2016-2021 TIP. We would need to replace it with the most up-to-date one, the 2020 to 2025 TIP. So, and that is something that it will always be on the annual docket. Every time the city adopts its short-range 6-year TIP, that updated TIP should be incorporated in the annual amendment. So that is the bulk of what we needed to talk about for this Chapter 7, the transportation amendments for the PSRC certification. And then what we would do next is all the things that we talked about will be rolled into one document, you know, that describes each of these proposed amendments to the comp plan, and that would go out to public hearing, and you would receive public testimony, you would deliberate, and then you would make a recommendation on that you would send forward on, maybe the things that were in the public hearing draft change after you take testimony or after you go home and you think about the discussion we've had tonight. And then that it makes your final recommendation that goes to the city council for their consideration. So what we really need to do, though, is, as you know, we have to have this adopted by the end of the year, and it's already November 10th. So I would ask if you might be willing to hold a special meeting. Let's see, your next meeting is going to be on I think we'll be okay to have the hearing on your next regularly scheduled meeting would be December 8th. So that's where we would hold the hearing on December 8th. That'll give us enough time to get, and I really did appreciate Ms. Bryant's comment about the timeliness and making sure that we get the document out so that people have time to really review it and think about it.
Commissioner Olson.
Yes.
It might be better if we would do it sooner, because if anything is brought up that we do need to take some time to deliberate upon, the holidays are coming up after that, and we're going to have a heck of a time getting together.
That's very, very true. So if we were to hold a hearing, we would get a hearing notice into the paper on Friday. It would publish on the 17th, on the 24th. So the very soonest we earliest we could consider a special meeting to have that hearing would be the 25th. No, when's Thanksgiving is the 24th?
When's the 26th?
The 26th?
Yeah.
Well, then we don't have much to, I mean, maybe we look at Monday, November 30th. That, how does that, would that be an option for you all?
There's a council meeting on the 30th.
Okay.
Maybe Tuesday the 1st?
Tuesday the 1st? How does that look for commissioner schedules?
So, Chairman McCain, is there a reason why the council's meeting on Monday? Because that's not a regular council meeting day. Council meets first and third Tuesdays, don't they?
Correct.
Thursdays, yep.
But they have a meeting scheduled, you said, Karina, on the 30th, which is a Monday?
Right. It's a special meeting.
So, it might be
for the budget.
Okay.
Okay. So if we met on the 1st, and if we had the public hearing on the 1st, Karina, is the council having their regularly scheduled council meeting? Because we have to pass it off to them at one of their council meetings, correct?
Correct. Their regular council meeting would be December 3rd.
I've actually earmarked December 17 for the council to get your recommendation. So if we had the hearing on Tuesday, December 1st, if that worked for your schedules, we could then come back on your November 8th regularly scheduled meeting day to
December 8th.
December 8th to deliberate and then make a recommendation a week later. How would that be?
Is that going to be sufficient time frame to get that to council, to get them to look at approval perhaps before the end of the year?
Yeah, because then if it's on their calendar for the 17th, yes, I think that would be, and I will workshop with them ahead of time in case we need to, if they feel like they need to hold a hearing, we could get that. I think we'd be okay. It's tight, definitely tight.
So commissioners, Chairman McCain, could you make yourself available for December 1st and December 8th this next coming month so we can get this finished?
I'm okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank Works you. For me.
Oh, great. Thank you, Weston. How about you, Richard?
Yep. Okay.
Possibility? Okay, good. And Dave, Amber, how about you?
I'm not sure yet. I'd have to check schedules.
Okay. Well, as long as we had a quorum, we could get that done. I do appreciate that we're asking a lot of every commissioner here. Certainly appreciate this. I think considering COVID and all these changes, we've really done the best that we could. And I appreciate you guys prioritizing this through the end of the year. So thank you very much. So with that settled, Barb, do we have any Community Development Department reports?
Well, we do. I have an announcement to make. I've got two big announcements. First of all, we are going to have two openings. Sadly, Commissioner Budd and Commissioner Eckberg are not going to reapply for their commissioner positions when their terms expire. So we're really, really going to miss you and are just so appreciative for all the work you put in. So there's two open positions. If anyone knows anyone that may be interested on applying and serving on the Planning Commission, by all means, please let them know. And the second announcement is that I'm leaving the city of Black Diamond to go work for the city of DuPont. So I'm just gonna miss all of you. My new job starts December 1st, but I will be hanging around here to get this comp plan done with you all. And my new employer has agreed to let me help out. So that's big news.
Well, Ms. Kincaid, you're going to leave a big hole in our, in the part of the city that you have been so loyal to for all these years, and we wish you nothing but the best, but we're going to miss you.
No, thank you. You've been a great commission to work with. And the city has been a wonderful place to be. So that's the department reports today.
Well, things change for sure. Well, at this point, we'd like to ask for any other public comments. Is there anybody else out there that would like to make a comment to the Planning Commission? If so, please cite your name and your city of residence for the record. Any other comments? We love hearing from the public and look forward to our public meeting for sure. Any other comments from those listening tonight? If I hear no other comments, I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Commissioner Jensen, I would so move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner LaConte. It's been moved and seconded to call an adjournment to this meeting. Thank you so much, commissioners. This meeting is adjourned, and we'll see you on the 1st.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.